All right, strap in, everybody. We're going deep today. We're tackling Isaiah, chapters 54 through 56. And we've got Robert Van Noy, a scholar, as our guide. Now, the thing is, these chapters, they come right after that suffering servant part, you know, in Isaiah 53. So we're in the aftermath, trying to figure out what it all means. What happens after a sacrifice like that? What does it mean for, well, God's people, obviously, but also, what about those outside of Israel?
Everything's been shaken up, you know?
Yeah.
And these chapters, they're all about the fallout, you know? The ripple effects of what the servant did. Like, a massive earthquake that changes everything. We're looking at the landscape after the quake.
Okay, so chapter 54 kind of sets the scene.
Yeah.
And from what I got from Van Noy's lecture, it's a message of hope.
Right.
Of expansion for God's people. Like, a promise of a new start, something bigger and better. But how does that hope become reality? That's what I was wondering.
And that's where chapters 55 and 56 come in. They get down to the nuts and bolts, the how. And it starts right away in Isaiah 55.1. Man, that opening line, it grabs you. Ho, everyone who thirsts. It's a call, a demand for attention.
Yeah. Like someone on the street shouting about something incredible, something you can't miss. But it's not like a cheap trinket, right? What is this thing being offered?
This is where Van Noy gets really interesting. He says God's offering true satisfaction, the kind that lasts, not the fleeting kind we usually chase after, you know? We all know that feeling, right? They think a new gadget or a promotion, it'll fill that emptiness, but it never really does. Van Noy brings up Isaiah 55.2, where God calls out those who spend their money on things that don't satisfy, you know, mm-hmm. and their labor on what doesn't last.
Oh, yeah, that's me sometimes. Spending energy on things that leave me empty.
Oh.
What does Van Noy say truly satisfies them?
He connects it to Jesus, what Jesus said to that woman at the well in John 4. Remember that. Jesus offers her living water, water that quenches thirst forever. And here in Isaiah, the invitation is, it's very similar. It's deep. It's soul-level satisfaction, only from connecting with God. And here's the kicker. It's free. No strings attached. No prerequisites.
Whoa, free.
Yeah.
That's not what our culture tells us. You know, we always hear we got to earn satisfaction, buy it, work for it.
Exactly. But Van Noy, he emphasizes this offer. It's pure grace, no earning required. But then the tone kind of shifts a bit as you go further into the chapter. Van Noy highlights this need for repentance and forgiveness. It's not just about getting satisfaction, but also acknowledging our shortcomings, you know?
It's not pretending we're perfect, not hiding our flaws.
No, not at all. It's about being honest with ourselves and with God. Van Noy brings up this quote from another scholar, E.J. Young. He says the word seek in Isaiah 55.6, it's not about passive prayer or rituals, you know. It's about stepping to God.
Stepping to God? Mm-hmm. Huh. What does that even look like? Like in real life?
Well, Young and Van Noy, too, they're talking about a radical change, a turning away from the empty stuff and towards God. It's a choice we make. And for the listener, I think that could mean looking at those areas in your life where you've been chasing the wrong things. You know, what are you spending your time on? Your energy, resources, are they leading you towards that true satisfaction or further away?
Man, that's a good point. It's easy to forget what matters.
Yeah.
You know, just get caught up in the daily grind. It's like we're on autopilot.
Yeah.
Going through the motions, but not really living.
Right. And that autopilot, it takes us in the opposite direction of where we really want to go.
Speaking of directions, Isaiah 55.8-9, it really hits on this. Van Noy spends some time on these verses about God's thoughts and ways being higher than ours. He really focuses on how that applies to forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. Forgiveness. That's a tough one, isn't it? Our human nature wants to hold grudges, wants to get even. But God, he's on a different level. Yeah, absolutely. Van Noy, he points out how God's willingness to forgive, it goes way beyond what we can even fathom. It's not ignoring what's wrong or sweeping it under the rug, but offering a real path to reconciliation, even when we don't deserve it.
It's like we're stuck with this limited human idea of justice, but God's mercy just blows it all up.
Exactly. And that leads to another key point Van Noy makes. He talks about the power of God's word. To accomplish his purposes, he uses this analogy of rain and snow falling from the sky, nourishing the earth. In the same way, God's word goes out and achieves what he intends. Sometimes it feels like our prayers, our actions, they're just tiny drops in a huge ocean. But Van Noy reminds us, God uses even the smallest things to bring about his will.
That's encouraging. It's easy to feel overwhelmed, you know, with all the problems in the world. But this reminds me that God is working, even when we don't see it.
Absolutely. He's working in ways we may never fully understand. And that brings us to one of the most visually striking passages in this whole section, Isaiah 55:1-13, where mountains are singing and trees are clapping their hands. What do you make of that?
I love those verses. They're so, so vivid, so joyful. But honestly, I've always wondered, is it literal or figurative?
That's the big question, right? And Van Noy, he admits, even scholars debate this, he leans towards figurative, seeing it as representing that joy, that transformation that happens in God's people when they experience his grace, you know. But he doesn't rule out the possibility that it hints at something more literal, a future time when the curse on nature is lifted and all creation celebrates.
So even Van Noy is open to different interpretations. It's not always about finding one right answer, but engaging with the text, you know, letting it spark our imagination.
Exactly. And that open mind, it's key as we go into Isaiah 56, where we find these really challenging and honestly relevant ideas. Van Noy highlights this connection between God's grace and our actions. It's not about earning salvation, but about how that inner transformation, how it should affect how we live.
Like the natural outflow of a changed heart, right?
Yeah.
You can't truly experience God's grace without it impacting your behavior, your choices.
That's it. It's about a changed life, not just a changed to-do list. And Van Noy, he points out something interesting about the mention of the Sabbath in Isaiah 56.2. He suggests it might be a symbol for all of God's commands, not just one rule. It's about a complete obedience that flows from a heart that surrendered to God.
That makes me think about how legalistic we can get sometimes, you know, focusing on the little details, but missing the bigger picture of what it means to really follow God.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And that focus on the heart, on genuine surrender, it's crucial as we get into the last part of Isaiah 56. It gets into some groundbreaking stuff about who's included in God's plan. We're talking about breaking barriers, expanding the circle of God's love in ways that were unthinkable back then. And trust me, what Van Noy has to say about this, it's both challenging and encouraging.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Let's dive in. So breaking barriers, widening that circle of God's love. Where does Van Noy take us?
Well, he jumps right in, Isaiah 56.3. It addresses those who felt excluded in the Old Testament. Van Noy specifically mentions eunuchs. Now, for anyone listening who might not know, eunuchs back then, they were often men castrated, sometimes because of war or serving in a royal court. They were often seen as outsiders, you know, marginalized.
That's tough to be seen as less than outside of God's love just because of something physical. That's heartbreaking.
It really is. And this is where Isaiah 56.3, it's so powerful. Van Noy points out how it declares God's love is for everyone, no matter their background, their circumstances. He says eunuchs who keep the Sabbaths, who choose him, they'll be given a place in his house, a name even better than sons and daughters, a name that lasts forever. It won't be cut off.
That's powerful imagery. A place in God's house, a name that lasts. It's like saying you're not forgotten. You belong.
Exactly. And what's amazing, Van Noy doesn't just leave it at that. He connects it to a real example from Acts. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. The eunuch is in his chariot reading Isaiah, probably this very section now that you mention it.
Yeah.
And Philip comes alongside him, guided by the Holy Spirit. What happens then?
Well, the eunuch, he's struggling to understand what he's reading, so Philip explains the good news about Jesus. And the amazing thing is, the eunuch, this guy who would have been considered an outsider, he accepts it immediately and asks to be baptized.
And Philip doesn't hesitate, right? Doesn't say, wait, you got to do this and that first, or sorry, you're not the right kind of person. He just baptizes him.
Exactly. And for Van Noy, this story, it shows perfectly how the gospel breaks down barriers, creates a new community where everyone is valued, included. It's that promise from Isaiah 56.3 fulfilled.
That story always gives me chills. It's such a powerful picture of God's grace, erasing those lines we draw saying everyone is welcome here.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And then we move on to verses 6 and 7. It talks about burnt offerings, sacrifices. You might be thinking, wait, aren't we in the New Testament now? What's with the Old Testament stuff? But Van Noy explains these sacrifices, while specific to that time, they point to something bigger, the idea of true worship from all nations.
So it's not about the ritual itself, but the heart behind it. That sincere devotion, that love for God that goes beyond cultures.
Yeah, you got it. It's about recognizing that God desires worship from every tribe, every tongue, not just one group. He even quotes Isaiah 56.7, which says, God's house will be called a house of prayer for all nations.
All nations. That's a radical statement, especially from the Old Testament.
It really is. And it leads right into what Van Noy calls one of the most fascinating and challenging verses in this section, Isaiah 56.8. God talks about gathering not only Israel, but others as well.
Others? Who are these others he's talking about? It sounds mysterious.
It's a phrase that's caused debate, but Van Noy, he thinks it's likely referring to the Gentiles, those outside the Jewish nation. He sees it as foreshadowing of people from all nations being included in God's family.
So the circle keeps widening, starts with the eunuchs, expands to all nations worshiping, then points to the Gentiles being included. It's like this ripple effect of grace, breaking barriers, drawing more and more people in.
That's exactly the path we see throughout the Bible. And what's more, Van Noy points out, even within this verse, there are layers of meaning. He mentions how some translations, like the NIV, hint at Israel returning from exile, too. So you have both the Gentiles coming in and Israel being restored happening at the same time.
That's incredible. It's like God's weaving these different parts of his plan together, fulfilling old promises and showing his love for everyone. It's mind-blowing.
It truly is. We've come from the aftermath of the sacrifice to this amazing offer of satisfaction and forgiveness, and now we're seeing God's love reaching out to all people. It's a remarkable journey. But Van Noy, he doesn't stop there. He has some crucial questions for us today, questions I think our listeners will really, really want to think about.
Okay, lay them on me. I'm ready to get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. All right, hit me with those questions. I'm ready for them.
Well, he starts by asking, if those barriers to God's love are really broken down, you know, what does that mean for how we see ourselves and others? Think about it. If God, in all his wisdom and love, doesn't discriminate, if his arms are open to everyone,
then how can we justify building walls and shutting people out? It makes all those human-made divisions, all the labels and categories, they seem kind of ridiculous, don't they?
They really do. Van Noy challenges us to look at those places in our own hearts where we've built those walls, where prejudice and judgment have taken root. He's calling us to a radical kind of love, you know, a love that reflects that boundless grace we've received.
And that leads to the second question, right? How can we live in a way that shows that inclusiveness? It's one thing to say God loves everyone, but it's another to actually live that out.
You're absolutely right. It's not enough to just talk the talk, right? We got to walk the walk. Van Noy challenges us to become like agents of reconciliation, bridge builders in a world that's so divided.
So what does that look like in everyday life? How do we actually do that? It feels kind of overwhelming, to be honest.
It can feel that way, yeah. But I think it starts small. It starts with being willing to listen to those who are different from us, to step outside our comfort zones and have real conversations, you know? It's about understanding, not judging.
It's about choosing empathy over apathy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Putting ourselves in other people's shoes, trying to see the world from their perspective.
Exactly. And that's not always easy. It takes humility, a willingness to admit we don't have all the answers, that we can learn from others.
You know, as we've been talking, I keep thinking about Philip and the eunuch. Philip could have easily dismissed him, said, "You're not one of us." But he didn't. He saw him as a person, someone worthy of hearing the good news.
Yeah, that's a powerful reminder. Everyone we meet, no matter how different they might seem, they're made in the image of God. They're worthy of our love and respect.
Man, Van Noy has given us a lot to think about today, from God's grace to that radical inclusiveness of his love. These chapters in Isaiah, they're full of truth, challenging and encouraging.
They are. And I think the main takeaway, the one Van Noy really emphasized, is that God's love it's bigger than our limited perspectives, you know? It's boundless, it's all-encompassing, and it's radically inclusive.
It's the kind of love that can change individuals, communities, and ultimately the world. So, to our listeners, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Isaiah chapters 54 through 56. We hope it's made you curious, challenged you to think about God's grace, and maybe even inspired you to live that out in your own life.
Keep exploring. Keep asking questions, and most importantly, keep seeking that truth that sets us free.
Well said. Until next time, keep diving deep.